It must have been very refreshing for Paul to be met by fellow Christians who took the time to leave Rome, make the journey toward Paul's travel, and meet him at the place called Three Taverns. Now we're told in verse 15 that he thanked God and took courage. This was a tremendous, tremendous encouragement to his own heart. Paul by this time was worn physically. He was worn mentally. And perhaps he was even worn spiritually.
And thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak today. This is Ian Gollaher, pastor, minister of our Free Presbyterian Church, Cloverdale, BC. Thank you for being a part of this program. And I trust the Lord will stir your heart, bless your soul, as we bring the message of God's Word today. And we will be coming to Paul the Apostle in the city of Rome. He is now arrived. He is under house arrest. But it is the headquarters. It is the very central station for the New Testament. And it is the place where Christians, missionaries, preachers gather for encouragement and direction. This is an amazing little part of Paul's last few years on earth. He labored to the end, even though he was under house arrest in the city of Rome. So I trust you'll stay tuned with us for the message here today. Our Bible verse for this day is Colossians 3 verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Seek those things which are above. Here is a mandate for the Christian to be less earthly minded and to be heavenly minded, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. The Christian ought to be living in constant victory, in constant gazing and amazing victory in the power of the risen Lord Jesus. He is now entered into the glorious presence of the living God. And our value system is not this world, but is the spiritual world of heaven, where the Lord Jesus reigns for us. And his victories ensure our victories. And what he has undertaken and promises to us is our true value system. And so, if ye then be risen with Christ, that is, if you're saved by his grace out of the tomb of your sins, then seek those things which are above. What an exhortation, what a blessing, when we are stuck in the midst of this old sinful world. And I pray that today you'll get your eyes on the Lord. Let's unite in prayer. Father, we thank thee for this reminder to lift our eyes away from the filth of this world and to get our minds and hearts away from the value system of this world, the stock exchange, the dollar, the popular praise of men, and to look unto Jesus at God's right hand. He who lived for us, died for us, rose from the grave, now reigns, and reigns to one day return and bring us on to glory. We ask for that blessing today to live in the power of the resurrection. Now bless thy word to every heart, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for being with us here on Let the Bible Speak, and we're looking at Paul at the HQ in Rome in his prison cell.
But what I want to show you tonight is that from that prison cell, that it was the headquarters of the New Testament church during those 2 years. And during those years, God did an amazing gospel work both in Rome and in various parts of the empire. while Paul was under house arrest. I have 4 points, so I'm going to hurry. This was headquarters by the power of preaching. Let me give you the points, first of all, and then maybe we'll try and lead you along in this message tonight. This was headquarters by the power of preaching. It was by the power of the key people. It was headquarters by the power of the pen, by the power of prayer, and by the power of praise. You can get those things. Sorry, I miscounted. That's five, isn't it? That means we're going to have to hurry even more here tonight. So the first one is it was headquarters by the power of preaching. In this cell, in this hired house, Paul invited all who would come to hear the preaching of the gospel. And of course, as his policy was, the Jew first. The Jew first. And he invited the Jewish leaders and all who would accompany them to his house. They appointed a day, they came, they heard the gospel, some believed, some were offended, and there was a division. But if you go down, please, to verse 25. This is Acts 28. Acts 28. 30. Verse 30. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus. So this was headquarters by preaching. And in Rome, this was his preaching center by the goodness and by the grace of God. And just think of the many who over that 2-year period came to hear the gospel. Just think of the vast number of people that came in through that door and heard Paul preach. Just think alone of the number of Roman guards, because they were by law to guard Paul night and day. Think of how the rotation of guards over 2 years. Maybe they did 8-hour, 12-hour shifts, I don't know. Just say every day there were 2 guards. Now these circulated in the Praetorium, 15,000 troops stationed permanently to guard the emperor and the city of Rome. And they were all to rotate to guard Paul. And as they witnessed this man one-to-one, they got the inside life story of the apostle. And they heard his preaching. They witnessed his praying. And they communicated with him one-to-one. And they went back into the Praetorium guardroom. The talk would have been, what was Paul preaching today? And we know that in Caesar's household, and there's a good strong argument and case that his household means the guardroom of the Praetorium where these soldiers were stationed, that there were many of his own elite troops converted by the preaching of Paul, because they were a captive audience. Now, he was supposed to be the captive in the prison, but they, by the nature of their work to guard him, were a captive audience, and by the providence of God, heard the gospel again and again and again, and went back to tell the story in the Praetorium guardroom. Yes, the gospel works like leaven. That's what the Lord Jesus said. The kingdom of God is like leaven, which a woman hides in 3 measures of meal, but afterwards the whole is leavened. And that's what was happening in the city of Rome during those years as Paul was there to preach the gospel. Paul had regular and frequent opportunity to preach in the prison. It wasn't just a rare thing. when he wrote the letter to the Ephesians, which he wrote from that prison cell, he wrote that they would pray for utterance, that he may preach the gospel with the power of God. He had regular and frequent opportunity to minister the gospel there. So that's number one. It was headquarters through preaching. Secondly, it was headquarters by the key people who joined him there. We have, obviously, Luke, who was with Paul. Luke is his biographer, by the way. He wrote the book of Acts. He's the one that recorded these things that we're reading about here in Acts 28. He knew these things because he was there. Now, we have a little window into a number of people who were there. If you turn to the book of Philemon, and in the little book of Philemon before the book of Hebrews, you have in the last couple of verses a good number of names that are mentioned. Luke is one of them, but he's not the only one. Now, why was the book of Philemon written? It was written because there was a young man called Onesimus who met Paul in the prison in Rome. And Paul was sending him back to Colossae, to Philemon, his master. This book of Philemon, small little letter as it is, you'll notice at the end the postscript says, written from Rome to Philemon by Onesimus, a servant. And he was taking this letter, written by Paul, handwritten by Onesimus, but Paul dictated it, and he was to take it back to Philemon. So Onesimus was there in the prison cell. Luke was there. Who else was there? Well, if you look at verse 23, there salute thee Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. He was there. Another gospel worker who came to visit Paul in the prison cell. He was a very active and a very helpful young man in the gospel. Then verse 24, you'll notice Marcus was there. Now that Marcus is John Mark. He's the nephew of Barnabas. He was there. This is after Marcus was restored and made profitable for gospel work. So he was there. Aristarchus. This is the Aristarchus who, by the way, traveled all the way from Caesarea by ship with Paul every loop of the journey right to Rome, and he was with him in the prison cell by times. We can't say he was there all the time, day and night, but he was there by times. And Aristarchus was certainly a gospel worker. Then Demas is mentioned, and at this time Demas was a good man. But you remember how Demas later went off the rails, having loved this present evil world? The love of the world got to him. But he was there when he was a good man. Then you have Lucas. Who's that? That's Luke. That's the biographer. My fellow laborers. He calls them all his fellow laborers. Now, another man that was there was Tychicus. And we know that because he carried the letters. He carried the letters to Ephesus. He carried the letters to Colossae. The key workers of the New Testament had access to the apostle, to his jailhouse in Rome, so that they received instructions, they received epistles, they received fellowship, encouragement, and of course they too encouraged Paul. And so this was headquarters, this prison house, for the 2 years that Paul was in that place.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. This is Ian Gollaher, and I hope that you are enjoying this series on Paul at Rome. Paul in that empire city, he said, I must see Rome. And here he is, right in the center of things. And God is using him. Even though he is limited in his movements, yet he is in the thick of the will of God. May we learn what God is doing here. Let's continue this message today.
It was also headquarters by the power of the pen. There were four prison letters that were written during this time. The letter to the Ephesians. The purpose of that letter? Doctrine and practice. The letter to the Philippians. It's a pastoral letter dealing with divisions in the church. It's become a very, very useful tool to pastors today. When there are problems in a church, the book of Philippians is invaluable. The book of Colossians was a book written about heresies. Epaphras, who was involved in that church, returned to Rome, spoke to Paul about the heresies and the false doctrine that was being unleashed on the Christians at Colossae, and Paul wrote that letter, and by the power of the pen, defended the cause of Christ from his prison cell. And then the fourth letter, of course, is Philemon, and he restored Onesimus back to his work. And in these teaching epistles, we have a great library of truth and invaluable resources to the church, which if Paul had had an itinerant ministry, we may not have had. And so in that prison house, Paul was not hindered, but it was the headquarters by the power of the pen. Then fourthly, it was headquarters by the power of prayer. In that prison cell, Paul prayed. Turn with me to Philippians 1 verse 4. Philippians 1 verse 4. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. Now I have 5 texts that I had selected to prove that Paul was a man of prayer in the prison cell. All from his letters written from the prison cell to prove that he was a man of prayer in the prison cell. But I'll leave it with this one. Always. What did he say? Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. And here is Paul in the cell. He's a man of prayer. And he's praying for the churches. It is HQ for the New Testament while in that prison house. You know, the church often prays best in the prison house. When we feel the loss of the world and the loss of our liberties and the loss of our ability to do much for God. And I'm sure Paul felt that. I'm sure there were times that he sat down in that prison cell and he wondered, what am I doing here? Think of how long this is taking. When is this trial ever going to be over? I'm wasting my life here. Time's running out for me. But by these various means, a work was being done for God. And we as a church need to realize that God can at times set us aside that we might give ourselves to prayer, to cease from all the activity and to pray. The fifth one then is that this was headquarters by the power of praise. Something I was struck by as I looked into this, Paul never lost his song in the midst of this prison period. Now, Paul and Silas had learned to praise God way back in Philippi, Acts 16, at midnight, when, you remember, the jailer came rushing in at the earthquake. Paul and Silas were singing and praying at midnight when the earthquake struck. So this was nothing new. But Paul was also singing when he was in Rome. Now remember that when he arrived here, he was very weary. Very weary in body, weary in mind, weary in heart. And that is revealed in the fact that when he saw the other Christians, he took courage. He needed that encouragement. We know too that he mixed his theology with doxologies. When you read Ephesians, he gets to the end of chapter 3 and he's talking about the great mercy of God. And then he just bursts into a doxology. Oh, the greatness and the riches of God's grace. He does that a number of times. And then, of course, in both Ephesians and Colossians, you have those similar texts where it talks about be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, and that we are to sing songs, hymns, songs, spiritual songs unto the Lord. Paul never lost his song, even in the prison cell. He knew, of course, that this was the way to peace with God. He wrote the book of Philippians. He was a big part of the theme was the peace of God shall rule and keep your hearts and minds. He had a gospel mind to praise the Lord, even in the prison cell. It was headquarters for all these reasons. And I think that Paul could really, truly thank God for the 2 years that he was a prisoner in that prison cell. I want to just sum up by giving you a few reasons why I believe that Paul could really thank God for that prison sentence. Number one, it was a change of pace for Paul the aged as he wrote to Philemon. He was now 50-something years old in a body that had been battered and bruised and abused for years for the gospel's sake. He was now allowed to reside in a relative comfortable home. He was well cared for. He did not live in fear for his life. He was totally convinced that he would survive the trial. These were also very fruitful years for Paul. He wrote to the Philippians that he thanked God that the things that had happened to him had fallen out to the furtherance of the gospel, that Christ was made known in the palace, in Caesar's household. Paul rejoiced that the gospel he was preaching in that prison cell, God was using it. The work of God went on in many quarters. Paul had the company and the refreshment of many of his fellow workers coming to see him. He was optimistic that he would win the trial. He wrote to Philemon, "You treat Onesimus really well because I'm coming to visit you. I'm coming to visit you." He was confident that he would be released and be free from this sentence. And there's another reason I think we can see the wisdom of God, that while Paul was at HQ in Rome in a prison cell, these were years for maturity in the churches. When younger men were finding their feet in the work of God, when men who still had some access to the apostle were on the field, giving leadership, pastoring, serving, preaching. Paul would not be there forever. And Paul was causing the churches to grow up while he was in this prison house. I think the greatest thing that we can also add to this is that we have, and every generation since Paul's day, have had these writings, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Philemon, to lean upon as our advice and counsel, the fruit of Paul's years in prison. And then one big lesson that we should take from this scene of Paul's life in a prison cell, and that is we can leave God's work to God's providence. Some may ask, what will happen? What will happen when we're gone? What will happen the next generation? What will happen when the old guard is gone? What will happen the children that are being born into the church today? Will there be a church? Will there be a witness in a generation to come? God has said he will never leave himself without witness. We have to believe that God will be faithful. And here we see the faithfulness of God. I think that's the great lesson of Acts 28. Not just Paul's perseverance and endurance, but God's faithfulness to his church. Even when the chief man is in a prison cell, the work of God goes on. Hallelujah. That's the great encouragement of this closing scene in the book of Acts. And you'll notice that the book of Acts closes without finishing the whole story. And Lord willing, next week, we'll try and piece together the final chapter.
This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. Call me, please, at 604-897-2040. For all the details of our broadcasts across Canada, go to ltbs.ca.
This broadcast comes to you today from the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, located at 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca, and there you can find gospel articles, links to our sermons, a gospel booklet called A New Beginning, and a link to watch our services online. You're warmly invited to attend any of our Sunday services at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. to meet with us as we worship God and to hear the preaching of His precious word. We also meet for Bible study and prayer every Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Our Sunday School for Children and Adult Bible Class meet every Lord's Day at 9:30 a.m. from September to June. You can contact us at 604-567-1091. Alternatively, you can email me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. Again, for all this information, please visit our website at cloverdalefpc.ca. Our burden is that you will hear and understand the gospel that will bring you to know the Lord Jesus Christ and His great salvation. This is Pastor Andrew Fitton. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to listen Monday to Friday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our one-hour church service, as we worship the Lord through the ministry of His Word.